Morning again. Okay. Yes, John chapter 13. We're going to begin with verse 31. And this is the account of Jesus predicting Peter's denial. John 13, 31. I'll be reading from the NIV. When he was gone, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I go? Why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And continuing in chapter 14, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father?
Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Good to be here today. So the setting is, we're still going to be in John chapter 13, start at verse 31. The setting is in the upper room somewhere in Jerusalem. It's the last night Jesus will be spending with his disciples. Judas had just been given the piece of bread by Jesus, and the devil had entered him, and Judas had gone out. And it just kind of hit me this morning. It's kind of weird. Here they are, the Last Supper, and they're all together, Jesus and all the apostles, and they're all right there, and guess who's in the room with them? The devil. The devil went inside Judas right there in the midst of the Last Supper. And then when he got out of there, then it was time for Jesus to spend the last few hours with his disciples, and the words that he told Jesus were absolutely incredible. From John chapter 13, 31, all the way through John chapter 17 are some of the most beautiful words you'll read in the Bible. In John chapter 13, verse 31, he said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and he will glorify God, and God will be glorified in him. Jesus is both the Son of Man and the Son of God. He's the Son of Man, the second Adam, so that he could live the life that we could not live. You know, he not only died for us, he lived for us, right? He was sinless. He said, who convinces me of sin? Crickets, just like here. Crickets. No one could convince him of sin. He was sinless. He was the Son of God. He was born of the Virgin Mary. Born of the Virgin Mary, he didn't have the Father Adam's blood in his veins. He had the power of God in his veins. Therefore, he was able to do what he could do that we couldn't do. God did not give him the Spirit without measure. We too have been glorified, given the promise of the Holy Spirit so that we may, by our good works, glorify God. Did you realize that? Romans 8:30 says, and those he predestined, he called. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, guess what? He glorified. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's how you get it. Everything Jesus did was to glorify his Father, and shouldn't we do the same? Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. John 15:8. And what is it to bear fruit? It's to live out the salvation that God has put within you. Work out that salvation with fear and trembling, for we serve a holy God. Jesus cried out one time, Father, glorify thy name. Then there came a voice from heaven, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Everything we do and say must be for the glory of God. Verse 33, Jesus said, little children, yet a little while I am with you, and you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. And now I say the same thing to you. He told the Jews, you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. You are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you will die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And the same goes for us today. Were the disciples thinking the same thing of themselves? No wonder they were troubled at heart. When Jesus said, someone will betray me, they all said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? They knew they had it in them to betray Jesus. Otherwise, they wouldn't have said, is it I? Isn't it interesting on this verse how Jesus left them hanging? He didn't say any more about it until Peter questioned him on it. When God speaks, do we believe him? Do we trust him? Or do we have to understand? Or can we just trust and believe even though we don't get it? They still didn't yet understand that Jesus was their Savior, their Shepherd. Trust him today, even when you don't understand. Verse 34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. He always made the commandments harder, didn't he? You have heard it said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's a good example. But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her already in his heart. As I have loved you makes it harder than you can even imagine. As hard as possible to live up to that standard. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, he demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, which one of you would die for sinners? You'd die for that baby, wouldn't you? you'd die for your little children. You'd die maybe for your older children when they turn teenagers. I don't know. Maybe. But who would die for sinners? Only God. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We are commanded to love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another. You want to be a witness for Christ? Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love. Everything we do, everything we say must be in love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love never fails, and love never ends. Everything else in this world is going to pass away one day, or it's going to burn up. Live a life of love, and you will bear much fruit for the glory of God. Verse 36-38, Peter says he will lay down his life for the Lord. I came up with a really good idea one time. Idea. My granddaughter gets me, I say ideal all the time. It's idea, Papa. Every time I say that word, I can see her looking at me. She'll stand up wherever she's at. I love her. Anyway, I had a good idea one time. Why not just, you got four gospels here, why not just put them all in one? Why do you got to go to each gospel? Because sometimes they say one something here and then they don't say it over here. Who came up with this idea of making the Bible like that? Why not just have one all in one? So I had this idea, so then when I went to create it, someone already did the work for me. Isn't that cool? Great guy. So I want to read you the end of here. I think it was really good. When you piece it, all those gospels together. And Jesus said unto them, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after that I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter answered and said to him, although all men shall be offended because of you, yet I will never be offended. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you that your faith fails not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus said, where I'm going now, you cannot follow me, but you will follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I not follow you now? Like a little kid, right? But he loved the Lord so much. Peter loved the Lord so much, he wanted to be with him wherever he was going. And with all of his heart, I know he did. Will you lay down your life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto you. Oh, wait, I missed a part. He said, I will lay down my life for your sake. Lord, I am ready to go with you both into prison and to death. And Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, Peter, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, you shall deny me thrice that you even know me. But Peter spoke the more vehemently. If I should die with you, I will not deny you in any wise. Likewise, also they all said the same thing. Don't just blame Peter, it was all of them. They all said the same thing. But they all love the Lord. Will you lay down your life for me? you'll deny me three times before dawn. He could not even confess he knew him to a young girl. This speaks to the weakness of man. Peter wanted to do good, but failed. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Was Peter lost because he denied the Lord? No, because he belonged to Jesus. John 6:39 says, "This is the Father's will." Is Jesus going to complete the Father's will? Yeah. "This is the Father's will that sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Do you belong to Jesus? He ain't going to lose you. It's impossible. He's going to do his Father's will. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." When is now? Now. Now. Are you in the midst of sin and rebellion against God, but you're God's? Now. He'll put his finger on you one day. He'll put his finger on you. Peter's name is on one of the foundation stones in the New Jerusalem because Jesus prayed for him. Peter wept bitterly because he denied the Savior, but Jesus prayed for him. He repented and preached the first Christian message at Pentecost because Jesus prayed for him. Jesus ever lives to pray and intercede for his people. Peter and the other disciples loved Jesus, but they were not yet endued with power from on high to lay down their lives. Someday they will lay down their lives. Peter laid down his lives upside down, crucified upside down. But for now, Jesus is the one that's laying down his life for them. Jesus is the one whom God the Father has sent to save his people from their sins. "Now is my soul troubled," he said. "And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was but for this hour that I came." Paul said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." That's why he came, to save sinners. Do you qualify? As Kimber likes to say. Chapter 14, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled." This means to me that you can let your heart be troubled. You have a choice. Let it be or let it not be. It sounds easy until you try to write a sermon. Then your heart's troubled. But that's all right. You'll get through it. But we shouldn't take that command lightly. Words are extremely powerful. I think Jim and Teresa's been finding that out lately, how powerful your words are. When God created the heaven and the earth, what did he say? "Let there be," and it was. Jesus, the Word of God, said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Receive it today. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with petition and thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." You trust in God, trust me. Jesus made a huge claim here, didn't he? Only God can make such a claim. C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, Mere Christianity, "Jesus is either a lunatic, a liar, or he is Lord." C.S. Lewis said, "I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept him to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man, and said the thing sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him, and you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Then Lewis finally came to the conclusion. He said, now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a demon. And consequently, however strange or terrifying, unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and he is God. If a man claims to be God and then found out he's not, wouldn't you consider him to be a lunatic? And then when he is found out, he'd obviously be a liar, wouldn't he? Jesus is making himself to be equal with God because he is. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was light as in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Verse 14 says, and the Word, so this has been speaking about the Word of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. God is a triune being, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the second person of the Godhead, the Son of God. Back in Genesis 21:6, it says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Jesus was right there in that conversation. Let us. Colossians says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Hebrews 1 says, who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I love how it says by himself. The apostles didn't help him. He did everything for the apostles for 3 years solid, more than that. Everything was about them. And for their sakes, it says in chapter John 17, and for their sakes, he did everything for their sakes. Then finally at the end in the garden, on the night of his betrayal, he finally told them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Come and pray with me. Guess what they did? Fell asleep. He did everything by himself. He wasn't dare going to let a man help. John 17:5 says, Jesus prayed to his Father and said, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. To be plain as day to say, Jesus said in John 10:30, I and the Father are one. That's why Jesus could tell Philip in John 14:9, he who sees me sees the Father. Verse 2, John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Sorry, there's no room in the inn. That's what we tell him. That's not what he tells us. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. What is this place that he is going to prepare for us? Is it a mansion, a room, a dwelling place? Or is it in him? I go and prepare a place for you. All right, that was 2,000 years ago. What's he got to do? Make the bed, change the sheets, sweep the floor, do the curtains. You got to build something. God says, let it be, and it's there. So it's just, I don't think it takes 2,000 years to build a place for us. Do you? Or is it a place in him? Listen to the beautiful words of our Lord Jesus in John 17. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You know, the Bible says, Jesus says, Father, you love them, you, as much as you love me. Get out of here. He must be in us, and we must be in him. Don't argue over rooms and mansions. Forget about that. We cannot go to be where he is until he first goes to the cross and pays for our sins. He needs to go and make a way, so that we can be with him forever. If we went with him, Peter, if you went with me, what he needs to say, if you went with me right now, you'd be blown to smithereens as soon as you saw my Father. I need to go and make a way. Right?
Yeah.
1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. He did not leave us alone. He gave us his Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He said, I will come again to receive you to myself. Take great comfort in those words, brethren. His promise is that he will return again, and we shall meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with our Lord. Verse 4, Jesus said, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. There's a period on the end of that too. But Jesus said, Jesus had already told them he came down from heaven to do his Father's will. He told them several times he was going to go to Jerusalem and die. Yet Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way. There are not many roads that lead to heaven. Sorry, Oprah. There are several I am statements that Jesus made. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall never walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the gate, or the door, for the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. That's an interesting statement. I am the door, and by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And he told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. I love that story of telling Martha, oh, I know he's going to rise again someday. And Jesus takes her and is like, I am the resurrection right here with you right now. And he's with you today. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only one and the only way to God. Full of grace and truth. He's the giver of eternal life and abundant life. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The disciples should have known by now that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. After 3 years, 24/7 living with him, hearing and seeing all that he said and that he did. John said there were many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. I don't blame the disciples. I see myself in the disciples, impulsive, outspoken, overreacting at times, doubting, lack of faith, unbelief, fearful. But Jesus is praying for me. Jesus is praying for you too. We're all in the midst of sanctification. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry about it. I have cried and cried over my sin. But I read these words that Jesus is praying for me. Satan wants to sift me like wheat too, and he wants to sift you as wheat. Don't worry about it. Just rely on him. Keep your eyes on Jesus like Peter did when he was walking on the water. You'll walk on water when you keep your eyes on him. Take your eyes off of him and see what happens. You'll sink in a heartbeat. But when you do, and you will, cry out to him. Lord, help me. Immediately, he reached out and pulled him up out of the water. No matter what you're going through today, you can call out to him. What about you? Do you see your flaws, how you fall short of the glory of God? Don't compare yourselves with others. Compare yourself with Jesus, then your eyes will be opened. Another I am statement, he says, comes in John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. For without me, you can do nothing. Abide in him today. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Will you receive him today? What are you trying to find salvation in? How do you think was the way to heaven? By the good things you do? Get out of here. No way. Jesus is the only good one. What about the sin you've done? Is it paid for? It must be paid for. Someone has to pay for it. Are you going to pay for it? Will you pay for that sin and be subject to the wrath of God? Or will you trust Jesus and let him pay that price for you? What is it to believe in him? Believe that he paid for your sins on the cross. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. You can look everywhere you want, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will come to heaven but by him. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in him today. Thank you.
Everyone stand, we're going to worship the Lord.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. Presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him.
A great way to end the service with that too, and we're very grateful, Greg, for that message. Heartfelt, very challenging, very lovely exposition of the greatness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for, is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, lift him up, submit ourselves to him, enjoy him, find our pleasure in him. And I really appreciate that. Doug's gonna preach next Sunday. And so you can count on him being here. We're very blessed to have all the ones that have filled in, and I don't even consider it filling in, but they've come forward with the Word of God. It's been a great blessing. So God is blessing us for sure. Let's say this together. It's the benediction, and think about it as you're speaking one another to one another. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. I would encourage you to speak that over your families and to your children as something and your grandchildren, and bless them. We need to be a blessing one to another. Well, greet one another and encourage each other and enjoy fellowship together. And we will have prayer time about 1:15 or 1:30 if you're around and you'd like to pray. So God bless you all.